There is nothing so tough as being the third son, Gordon Lynx thought to himself as he rode his horse one warm spring day. It was May and the flowers were in full bloom. Birds chirped in the trees, calling out joyfully to one another. The world seemed right, yet it wasn't. A third son almost didn't exist, not according to the laws of inheritance in England. In his own case, his eldest brother Martin was their father's sole heir, and he was next in line to be the Marquess of Haselmere, a title that came with vast wealth. His second brother George was going to inherit their maternal uncle's barony, which also came with wealth. For her third son, all his mother had done was urge his father to buy him an army commission, and Gordon was now captain of the 52nd Platoon, which was a rear guard unit. They were called the sweepers and cleaners by some of their counterparts, and though it was said in jest, most of the time, Gordon felt as though they were being mocked. The 52nd's latest assignment was to Vendée, France, to ensure that the escaped emperor didn't capture the county. Napoleon had been exiled to Elba after his campaign to take over the whole of Europe, and perhaps the world, eventually was thwarted by the Sixth Coalition. While Europe celebrated the end of the war, Napoleon was planning a comeback. This was made easier by the discontented masses, and he had succeeded. Napoleon's whereabouts wasn't known, but the Allies felt that, with his return, he would probably try to seize as much wealth as he could to strengthen his rule. Most of the British aristocracy had homes in the county, and these stately homes were filled with treasures that many people would die to possess. That was the real reason Gordon's unit was on special assignment, as his commanding officer had said, though to Gordon it sounded as if they were going to house it for the wealthy. "Stop grumbling," he told himself. Things might have been worse. He wanted to retire and begin building a family for himself. He was 27 and he wasn't getting any younger. He had inherited a small manor from his paternal grandmother, and that was his home now. It was probably the only property he would ever own, because his salary as a captain would only be enough to feed and clothe his wife and children when he came by them. But his lot was better than Rupert's. Rupert was his younger brother, who was 16. There was nothing for him to inherit, and he would forever depend on the goodwill of his brothers. What a life. Sometimes Gordon wished he was strong enough to break free from his family and move to the colonies in Africa or America so that he could make a name for himself and wealth that he could call his own. He got along well with his brothers, but one thing he knew was that as soon as their parents died, he and Rupert would probably be turned away from the only home they'd ever known. Martin was courting a very rich young woman, and the union was bound to uplift the Lynx name. But Gordon knew that Lady Samantha Myers would never agree to have her husband's siblings hanging on for scraps. Much as she tried to look like a nice, gentle woman, Gordon knew that it was just a matter of time before the kitten showed its claws. He didn't want to be there when that happened, but whenever he thought about the kind of life Rupert would live with him gone, he would delay his decision to leave. George's fiancée, Lady Gladwell Knight, was no better, and Gordon was glad that his mother didn't want her sons to have hurried weddings. "Wait until the war is over and Napoleon has been vanquished," she had said on one occasion. "Then you can have big weddings to which all the ton will be invited. If you wed now, only a handful of people will show up, and that isn't what I, as your mother, want for you." Her sons had to be content with that.